May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Like I said earlier, many of us, including me, we have issues when it comes to waiting. There's always this anxiety waiting, and often you hear people say, I can't wait to nip out for the holiday. I can't wait for Christmas to come. I can't wait for my birthday. I can't wait for the arrival of a baby. I can't wait. So there's always this issue about waiting. But Advent is a period of waiting, a season in which Christians celebrate not only Christ coming to earth as a baby, but his presence among us through the Holy Spirit, an anticipation for his coming at the end of time. Advent is more or less supposed to be like the Lenten period, the seasons of Lent, which is a run-up to Easter, 6 weeks run-up to Easter. It's a time that involves a prayer, a time that involves or that you reflect a repentance, followed by anticipation, hope, joy, and peace. This appears to be the opposite of what we see today, very much an opposite. For in our contemporary time, the expectation is that the build-up to Christmas will be a busy time. Busy time for shopping, preparing food, baking, and putting up decorations. Last week, I was in Edinburgh, and it was so amazing that it was almost difficult to recognize Princess Street. And this year, it has been extended to George Street. I felt a little bit disappointed because George Street was where I first went for Street Kelly a few years ago. And we had very long swing the willow, and it was just madness. At the end of the day, we had to swing, and that was Favour's first Christmas in Edinburgh. She thought we were going for a party, an in-house party, and when we got there, there were no seats. And before you knew it, somebody now walked up to her and said, would you like to dance? And she started to give it a go. Now she swung to a point and ran away and then left the line because it was too long. You would have to swing almost from one end of George Street to the other. But this year, it's been all filled with Christmas decorations and so many other things that wouldn't allow that to take place. In our first reading, Jesus speaks of a time when strange things will happen in the sky, when countries will despair and people will faint with fear, when the Son of Man will appear and will face judgment. This reading appears to be countercultural. It doesn't really appeal to the popular feeling at this time. But then in Advent, we are reminded that Christ has not just come at Bethlehem, but that Christ will come again. And I think we need to hold that in balance. We often think of Christmas season as a great time getting together with family and friends. But that's really why this season is often so hard for many of us. Because we remember the family and friends who are not here to celebrate with us. Those from whom we are now separated by death or distance. When the disciples admired the temple at the opening part of our reading in New Testament, they admired the temple. Jesus said to them that not a single stone of it will be left in this place. So too, in our personal lives, there is little that remains fixed. Very little. The happiness we find in material possession, in friendship or in the love of our family are very fragile. In this season, Christ says to us, be careful not to let yourself become preoccupied with too much feasting and drinking and with the worries of this life, or that day may suddenly catch upon you like a trap. We live in an age when feasting and drinking are big businesses. The sheer scale of efforts put into entertaining and amusing us nowadays appear unparalleled in human history. Strangely, despite this increasing entertainment and amusements, the minds of many are being preoccupied with the worries of this life, including obsession by how they look. Young people especially seem to be finding it harder to cope with the television, magazines, and shops, which tell them that they are judged by how they look, their clothing, their hairstyle, and even body shape. So there's this anxiety about how we look. And we find that in the media. What should the church do in a time like this? Should we fold our hands and give up? The church's mission in the midst of all of this is to take hope to our world, to tell our young people that God values them the way they are, that they are loved, they are cherished. The prophet Jeremiah had a reputation for prophecies of doom. He predicted that the way people were going, their nation would be destroyed. And 6 centuries before Christ, Jerusalem was taken by the Babylonians and its inhabitants into exile. Yet even at that terrible time, Jeremiah had these words of hope for the people. I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. Jeremiah assured them that there was hope, even in the worst of circumstances. We are sure that however much the world might be shaken, God's promises through Christ are unshakable. The world might pass away, as we have read, but my world will remain the same. There's no one, great or small, too hopeless to receive the hope of Jesus Christ. The hope on which we base our life is not only in this life, but in the resurrection, the promise of living forever with Christ in glory. It is that kind of confidence and hope that allows us to make the sacrifices needed for us to serve other people. And so Advent season reminds us that hope is at the very heart of the gospel message. We do not lose hope. And so as we come to the Lord's table this day, may we come with hope. May we come trusting the Lord to renew our strength. May we come trusting the Lord to speak to our hearts. May we come longing and waiting to receive God's touch. Let us leave this service at the end, overflowing with hope, enough to share with other people in our world that is full of hopelessness. Amen.